Welcome to the Kindred Church Podcast, where we talk about God, faith, and real life. This is Daniel Childs. I'm the host of the podcast and the pastor of Kindred Church. To learn more about how to connect with our community, check out our website at www.kindrednc.church. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're glad you've tuned in for today's episode. Now, let's talk about God. Well, if you're watching this worship service at your house, then I assume that means you have an internet connection. And if you have an internet connection, that means you have an internet service provider. Some company gives you access to the internet. Now, humor me for just a second and think about the relationship that you have with your internet service provider. That relationship is what we might call contractual. My internet company likes to remind me that they don't do contracts. It's just month-to-month service. But still, the basic shape of that relationship is contractual. And here's what I mean. Your relationship with your internet company is rooted in certain conditions. And it goes like this, right? If you pay your bill, then they will give you access to the internet. Presumably, everybody's happy. But if you don't pay your bill, then at some point, they're going to stop giving you access to the internet. And that would be a shame, because how would you tune in for Kindred's worship services? So your access to the internet is conditional upon your payment. And it works the other way, too. If that company stops giving you access to the internet, then you know sooner or later, you're going to stop making your payment, I imagine, because you know your payment is conditional upon them giving you access to the internet. That's how contractual relationships work. You do this for me, I do that for you. You stop doing this for me, I'm going to stop doing that for you. Well, the reason I mention all this is just to point out that our lives are actually full of these kinds of contractual type relationships. Think about your relationship with your employer, for example. It's a similar dynamic, I think. If you show up and do your work, or now, under social distancing, many of us are working from home, so you don't have to show up. But if you do your work, then you get a paycheck. But if you stop doing your work, pretty soon you're going to stop getting a paycheck. And it works the other way too, right? If you stop getting a paycheck, sooner or later, you're probably going to stop doing your work. And it's not just our financial arrangements that take on these contractual dynamics. Sometimes these same dynamics begin to shape our personal relationships as well. Relationships with friends, relationships with family members. And when our personal relationships take on these contractual dynamics, that can become really problematic. And maybe you've felt this before. Maybe you're the funny one in your friend group. And maybe sometimes it feels like if you stopped being funny that you wouldn't really fit in anymore. Maybe you are the supportive, caring one. That's how everybody sees you. That's your identity. And maybe sometimes it feels like if you stopped being that supportive figure for everybody else, even for a little bit, that people wouldn't value you anymore. Maybe you're always impressing people with your intelligence or your accomplishments, and maybe sometimes it feels like if you were ever to fail at something, that people around you would lose their respect for you. That's what it feels like when relationships take on these contractual dynamics. And if we're honest, that can be really exhausting. It can be really stressful because we're always having to perform a certain way. We're always having to meet certain conditions. Otherwise, we risk losing the approval, losing the acceptance of people around us. And sometimes there are people that we really care about what they think. Their opinions really matter to us. Now, where all of this becomes really problematic is when we imagine that our relationship with God is contractual in this type of way, when we imagine that there are conditions upon God's love. And yet, there are many Christians who believe just that. My guess is that for most of us, we've been told at some point that God loves you. I hope that at some point somebody told you that God loves you, because that is true and that is foundational for the whole Christian faith. But I would also guess that in one way or another, many of us were taught that divine love comes with certain caveats. We might call this God loves you but theology. Like, God loves you but you gotta pray this specific prayer. Or God loves you but you gotta make sure you avoid at least some of those particular sins, because otherwise God's gonna send you to hell forever. this idea that if you don't meet certain conditions, whether conditions of faith, conditions of morality, that you risk forfeiting God's love. And if conditional relationships with other people feel exhausting, a conditional relationship with God can just be overwhelming, right? Because we've always got to wonder, have we done the right things? Have we done enough? Have we prayed the right prayer? Have we believed the right things? You know, are we meeting the conditions? And God's always watching, so we've always got to be performing. And then church becomes this place where we go to perform. Church becomes this place where we go to perform for God, where we go to perform for others, where we go to show God and everybody that we've got our act together, that we're doing the right things, that we're doing everything we do to stay within God's love. And I know at least for some of us, and for many, many people around the world, they've been taught that this is just what Christianity is. This is just how God is. This is how church is. And for a lot of folks, they're just fine with that. Well, here at Kindred, we are not just fine with that. We have a very different understanding of the way that God relates to us. And that gives us a very different understanding of church and what church is all about. So that's what I want to spend a few minutes talking about with you this morning. If you've been with us in recent weeks, you know that we are in week 5 now of our 6-week sermon series called Welcome to the Family. We're exploring the core values of Kindred Church. What are those things that we want to shape our community? What are those things that we want to shape our mission together? And if you've been with us, you remember that we've talked about how at Kindred Church, we are fundamentally relational. We are pursuing inclusive kinship. We are committed to the unchurched. Last week, we talked about how we are theologically thoughtful. And today, we're going to talk about our 5th core value. And that is that at Kindred Church, we are authentic. We are authentic. Now, I say that word authentic, and I know, you know, that word gets thrown around a lot, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But for us here at Kindred, authenticity means freedom. It means freedom from those contractual type relationships. It means freedom from having to meet certain conditions in order to be loved. It means freedom from the fear of having to worry about if we don't meet certain conditions, we won't be loved. We won't be valued. You know, we don't think church should be a place where you have to put up a front and try to hide your struggles and your imperfections. We think church should be a place where we can be our real, authentic selves, but before God and before our church family. And we believe that we do have that freedom because of the way that God relates to us, because of the kind of love that God has for us. So I want to spend a few minutes with you talking about this passage in Romans 5 that we read a few minutes ago, because I think this passage spells it out so clearly for us. This was written by a pastor in the first century whose name was Paul. And Pastor Paul is telling us something so important here that as Christians, we just can't forget this. Paul is talking about God, as preachers do. And specifically here, he's talking about the way that God relates to us human beings. And in that context, here's what Paul says. He says, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for who?" Did you catch this? Who does Paul say that Christ died for here? Did Christ die for a select group of really moral, really religious people? No, that's not what Paul says. Did Christ die for people who had prayed a specific prayer to get saved? Does Paul say that Christ died for people who believed a particular set of ideas? No, not at all. In fact, it's just the opposite of all of that. Paul says that Christ died for the ungodly. That is, the unfaithful, people whose lives are a mess, people who are falling well short of God's expectations, people who, whether they realize it or not, are actively opposed to God in the way that they're living their lives. And as Paul is naming this, he's not pointing fingers, he's not being judgy, he's saying, that's all of us, if we're honest. He's saying Christ died for all of us. And then in verse 8, he really drives the point home. And to me, this is one of the most amazing verses in the entire Bible. In Romans 5, 8, Paul says here that God shows his love for us in this. In other words, God shows us not just that God loves us, But God shows us how God loves us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not once we stopped being sinners. It's not once we got our act together or met certain criteria, but while we were still sinners, while we were still falling short, while our hearts and lives were still a hot mess, God in Christ laid down his own life for us. We could think of that scene in Luke's gospel, and some of you may remember this. Luke tells us about this moment where Jesus is on the cross, and obviously he's suffering and he's in agony. He's taking his final breaths, and as he does this, this crowd has gathered around to watch Jesus die, and they are taunting him, and they're mocking him, and they're cursing him, and in this moment, Jesus looks at this hateful mob, and in this moment, Jesus loves them, and with some of his final breaths, Jesus prays for their forgiveness. And then Jesus dies for them, along with everybody else. Jesus dies for them while they're in the act of mocking him to his face. Now, you got to admit, that's a pretty amazing kind of love. Well, Paul's telling us here in Romans 5, look, that's how God loves you. And that's how God loves me. You know, if there was something that we could do to lose God's love, we'd probably be in pretty big trouble, because all of us have a tendency, at least at times, to do things that God's not real happy about. All of us are imperfect. All of us are flawed. All of us have destructive tendencies. But Paul is telling us that God's love is totally and completely unconditional. No buts, no asterisks, no caveats. It's not at all a contractual relationship. Instead, it's what Scripture calls a covenantal relationship. A covenantal relationship. So what is that? I think one of the best metaphors, one of the best analogies for this is if we think about the way that a parent loves their child. If that's a good and healthy relationship, at least, that's a covenantal relationship. Now, I am far from perfect as a parent, but I'll use myself as an example anyway here. As many of you know, I'm blessed with two wonderful children, and I'm at the beginning of my journey of fatherhood. I'm just a few years in at this point. But one thing that I already know, and I know this with every fiber of my being, is that I will always love my children. There is literally nothing that they could ever do that would make me stop loving them. And I'm sure that's the same for those of you that are parents and the way you feel about your kids. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't care what my children do. It's just the opposite. Because I love them so much, I care a whole lot about what they do. I have expectations for them. And because of that, I give them instructions and I give them guidance. And if, hypothetically, they were to ignore my instructions, ignore my guidance, I might be disappointed, I might be upset, I might even get angry with them at times. I might give them consequences for their own good, again, because I love them so much. But even in those moments of disappointment, even in those moments of anger, my love for them never fades. And even if at some point later in life, my kids decided that they didn't love me back, that they didn't return the love that I had for them, that would break my heart. But it would still not stop me from loving them, because my love for my children is not contractual, it's covenantal. Well, Paul is telling us here in Romans 5 that Jesus' death on the cross shows us decisively, once and for all, that we have a God who loves us covenantally. God doesn't relate to you like your internet service provider. Thank goodness, right? God doesn't relate to you like your employer. God doesn't relate to you like the people in your life who only value you for the things that you do. But instead, God relates to you much more like a perfect parent would love their child. And that means that nothing that we do or don't do, nothing we say or don't say, nothing we believe or don't believe, nothing would ever cause us to forfeit God's love. Well, as we think about that amazing reality and all the implications of that. One of the things that it means is that when it comes to our relationship with God, we don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. We don't have to try to hide our failures and our shortcomings and our imperfections, because the truth is, God already knows all of that anyways, and God loves us anyways. And God doesn't want a relationship with our pretend selves. God wants a relationship with our real selves. God has expectations for us, of course, high expectations, because God cares a whole lot about us. And all of this means that we can be honest with God. We can be real with God. We can be authentic. And so, for that reason, here at Kindred, we want to be a church community of deep, deep authenticity. We're not here to put on a show for God. We're not here to put on a show for other people. We're here to remind each other over and over and over again of God's love and what it means for our lives. We're here to remind the world over and over again of God's love and what it means for life. We don't want to be the kind of place where you've got to try to hide your struggles and your imperfections. I think all of us have enough of those contractual type relationships in our lives, and many of us have the anxiety and the exhaustion to prove it. So what we need is a church family. And we love that language of church family around here. It's one of the reasons that we chose the name Kindred for our community, because at their best, and families often aren't at their best, families are often deeply flawed, but at least at their best, families are communities of covenantal love. At their best, family members can be real with each other. They can be honest with each other. Family members at their best can forgive each other. They can go on loving each other unconditionally. And we think that's how church should be, because the cross of Jesus Christ shows us decisively that that is how God loves all of us. So as you think about the relationships in your life, all the many relationships that define you, that make you who you are, I wonder how many of those relationships are covenantal, and I wonder how many of those are more contractual. And if you find yourself tired and weary and anxious, I wonder if at least part of the reason for that is that maybe you're doing a whole lot of performing to try to sustain those contractual relationships, those conditional friendships in your life. I think it's safe to say that all of us need more covenantal relationships in our lives, spaces where we know that we're loved, spaces where we can be honest and authentic with God and with the people around us. I think the world is aching for more of these kinds of covenantal communities. And I think many of us are aching to be a part of this kind of covenantal community. And so I hope you'll join us here at Kindred. I hope you'll help us as we're reaching out and trying to connect with others and invite them in here as we are working together to create this kind of deeply authentic church community, this community that is rooted in God's unconditional love. Let me pray for us. Oh Lord, we thank you for your love for us. And specifically, we thank you for the shape of your love for us, that you love us covenantally like a perfect parent. God, we ask your forgiveness for all the ways that we religious people have a tendency to try to put conditions on your love. God, we know that not only is that harmful, but it's just not true. And you've shown us that clearly. God, help us here at Kindred as we are working to create a church community of deep, deep authenticity. We pray that everything we do would reflect the kind of love that you have for all of us. And we pray all of this, Lord, in the name of the one who died for all of us. Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Kindred Church Podcast. If this episode was meaningful to you, consider sharing it with a friend who might also enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast here and give us a rating that helps us connect with more listeners. This free resource and all of Kindred's ministries are supported by the generosity of people like you. Your giving changes lives, and it helps us to share and embody God's love. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so on our website at www.kindrednc.church. Just select Give. You can find lots of ways to connect with our community on our website, as well as on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.